Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can open your word together. We pray for your spirit to teach us as we study, because we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Blackout doesn't happen too often here in America, but in the countries we've traveled to, the many third world countries we've been in, blackout happens quite frequently. You may have heard this past week they had a nationwide blackout in Kenya caused by a monkey. This was NPR News from Wednesday of this past week. It actually happened on Tuesday. You can see the little monkey there. He jumped down onto a transformer at the main power station in Kenya and tripped the transformer. And when that happened, other transformers, because they were overloaded, they also tripped. So trip, trip, trip. Pretty soon it was like a domino effect and the whole country was out of power. Blackout. It took more than 3 hours to fix the problem, and amazingly, the monkey survived. He wasn't hurt. Blackout. Have you ever experienced a blackout in your personal life? Have you ever been involved in darkness or discouragement? Have you ever had the time when it seemed like the lights had all gone out? We are told from Prophets and Kings, into the experience of all. How many is all? Are you part of all? So this includes you. Into the experience of all, there come times of keen disappointment and utter discouragement. I hope that's not today or this past week, but those times do come to all. Days when sorrow is the portion. And it is hard to believe that God is still the kind benefactor of his earth-born children. Days when troubles harass the soul till death seems preferable to life. Now, when you would rather die than live, that's deep discouragement. And discouragement is a common problem. Have you ever had one of those dark days? Maybe this past week, a day of perplexity, a day of discouragement. You have your Bible. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. We're going to read about this. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. Today we're studying the discipline of darkness. Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh where? In darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." I don't know if you've ever laid down in sorrow. Seemed like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Have you ever asked the question, why? Why, God, did that happen to me? Why do good things happen or bad things happen to good people? Why did I get sick? Some of you come to the Lifestyle Center to recover health, and you might wonder why God allowed certain things to happen. As a pastor, oftentimes when I counsel with people, talk to people, they ask the why question. Why did God let that happen? I don't know if you have experienced darkness, a financial problem, financial darkness, or perhaps a relationship problem with your spouse. You find out your spouse doesn't love you anymore or is leaving. Or a problem with your health. Really, the question we should be asking is not so much why, but how. How are we going to react when bad things happen? How do we react when darkness comes? How we react really demonstrates our character. What do you do when all is dark? Today, we're going to look at the discipline of darkness. And I'm going to share with you four facts or points to ponder relating to the discipline of darkness. If you're taking notes, and I invite you to do that, we're going to consider 4 points in this study on the discipline of darkness. Number one, if you're taking notes, those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. If you still have your Bible open there to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, notice that it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" Now, who's that? Someone who fears the Lord. Is that a heathen? No, this is a religious person. A person who fears the Lord. And is this person disobeying God? The Bible says that obeyeth the voice of his servant. That walketh where? Walketh in darkness. So even though this person fears the Lord, obeys the Lord, he experiences times of darkness. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. Sometimes we have this mistaken view that when you serve the Lord, he's going to bless your family, he's going to bless your marriage, he's going to bless your health, he'll bless your finances. And yes, blessings do come. I hope you've experienced the blessings of the Lord. But with the blessings also come trials. And there are times of darkness, even for those who are serving the Lord. Ministry of Healing says many. How many? Many. Who sincerely consecrate their lives to God's service. Have you done that? I hope you have. Many who sincerely consecrate their lives to God's service are surprised and disappointed to find themselves as never before, confronted by obstacles and beset by trials and perplexities. So before we made the entire consecration of our lives to God, we didn't seem to have so many problems. But now that we've made that entire consecration of our life to God, what do we face? Obstacles and trials and perplexities. Darkness sometimes. They pray for Christ-likeness of character. Is that a good thing to pray for? That's really a dangerous prayer. Because if you read on, it says, they pray for a Christ-likeness of character, for a fitness for the Lord's work, and God answers their prayer. They are placed in circumstances that seem to call forth all the evil of their nature. Did that happen to you this past week or last month? You prayed for Christ-likeness of character, and look what's happening. Darkness. Faults are revealed of which they did not even suspect the existence. That ever happened to you? You didn't even know you had this particular fault until God puts you in the crucible of affliction. Faults are revealed of which they did not even suspect the existence. Like Israel of old, they question, if God is leading us, why do all these things come upon us? Did you ever ask that question? Sometimes we do. It is because God is leading them that these things come upon them. Remember that. Trials and obstacles are the Lord's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success. Would you read that together with me, the last sentence in red, all together? Trials and obstacles are the Lord's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success. So what are the Lord's methods of discipline? Trials and obstacles. Tell me, how many of you love trials? I didn't see too many hands. Those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Isaiah said, those who fear the Lord, obey him. There are times they walk in darkness. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that experienced that? If you have your Bible, back up to Psalms chapter 105, verses 17 through 19. Leave your marker in Jeremiah 50. We'll return. But we're going, or Isaiah rather, excuse me, Isaiah 50. We're going to Psalms 105. Psalms 105, verses 17 through 19. This is describing Joseph. Psalms 105, verses 17 through 19, it says, He, that's God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant or a slave, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in the iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. So tell me, did Joseph experience darkness? He was first sold by his brethren. He had gone there sort of as a favor. And they had thrown him in a pit, intending to leave him there to die. And then they pulled him out and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And he went down to Egypt and was sold as a slave. That's pretty dark. And after faithful service for years, he was falsely accused and thrown in a dungeon. And no doubt that's where they hurt his feet. That was a common punishment in Egypt. Darkness. But out of that darkness, God brought Joseph forth to become the prime minister of Egypt. We can think of another person in the Bible that experienced darkness. If you're in Psalms, back up one book, you'll be in Job. You know the story of Job. Job didn't understand what was happening to him. He thought it was God. Job 19, verses 8 through 14 says, Job 19, verse 8, He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. And he hath set what? Darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Of course, God wasn't doing this. God had allowed this to happen to Job. God allows sometimes darkness to come to us. Verse 10, He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops came together and raised up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Have you ever felt that way? When even your friends turn against you, or it seems like they've turned against you, or your family. Job experienced darkness. We can think of others in the Bible. John the Baptist, for his faithfulness, he was thrown in prison, in the dungeon. Darkness. Paul experienced it. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of you know this passage. Paul said he was perplexed. You might be perplexed sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. That's the glory, the character of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are, verse 8, we are what? Troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed? Maybe this past week, what happened? I don't know. We are perplexed. But not in despair. I like the words where Paul says, We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the glory may be of God and not of us. Reminds me of the story of Gideon with his 300. And they had the light in earthen vessels. And when the earthen vessels were broken, the light shone out. And so it is in the darkness when we are broken, the light of God's character can be revealed. Number one, we're talking about the discipline of darkness. Number one, those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Number two, if you're taking notes. Number two, the faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. Tell me, where do we usually grow the most spiritually? In the light or the dark? In trial or when everything's going well? Where do they develop film? in darkness. And so God wants to develop our faith, and sometimes he has to put us through dark experiences to develop faith. James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials." Do we rejoice when we are tried? Maybe not. We're supposed to. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark." Those dark experiences of our lives. Ellen White says, "It is good for me to tread a hard and humble path." You have that in your bulletin. It's the food for thought. "To encounter difficulties, to experience disappointments, to suffer afflictions and bereavements." She said it was good for her. Now tell me, when was the last time you said it was good for you to go through those things? "It is good for me," Ellen White says, "to tread a hard and humble path, to encounter difficulties, to experience disappointments, to suffer afflictions and bereavements. The Savior knows what is best." Too often we complain when we're in darkness. But Ellen White says, "It's good for me." Faith grows by conflict with doubt and difficulty and trial. That's when we grow the most, when we're in darkness. "Virtue gathers strength by resistance to temptation. The life of the faithful soldier is a battle and a march. No rest, fellow pilgrim, this side the heavenly Canaan." So are we going to get away from problems and trials? Not till we are taken to glory. While we're here, we're going to go through times of darkness. The faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. Someone once said, "Never doubt in the dark what you've learned in the light." Oftentimes when we go through dark experiences, that's when we begin to doubt. Is God really leading me? Has God led me? Is God with me? Don't doubt. The third point to ponder in the discipline of darkness, number three, some things are learned in the darkness that cannot be learned in the light. That's a fact. Some things are learned in the darkness that cannot be learned in the light. If you have your marker still in Isaiah, go back to Isaiah 50. And we're going to begin here in verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 50, verses 3 and 4 says, God says, "I clothe the heavens with what? Blackness. And I make sackcloth their covering." Sackcloth, that's kind of a dark cloth. And then verse 4, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." So Isaiah is saying, "I woke up after the darkness and I discovered I had learned something." We learn some things in the darkness that we cannot learn in the light. You may have heard, well, let me just read another text here. This is Isaiah 45, verse 3, speaking to Cyrus. God said to Cyrus, I will give thee the treasures of darkness." Darkness in the Bible has several meanings. We often think of darkness as a symbol of sin or a symbol of evil. Well, yes, but sometimes it's a symbol of perplexity. And sometimes it's a symbol of difficulty. And here God says there are treasures in the darkness. Have you ever heard somebody say, "The stars are out tonight"? Well, the fact is the stars are always out, aren't they? We just don't see them during the day. It's only in the darkness that we can see the stars. That's why someone said, "In the light we see that which is near. In the dark we see that which is far away." That's true. In the light we may see more clearly, but in the night we see farther. You can see, I don't know how many light years away those stars are. You can't see them in the light. but you see them. I open mine eyes at night. I look up, I see the stars. You may think your brightest thoughts in the daylight of life, but you will think your deepest thoughts in the midnight of life when all is dark. That's a fact. There are some things we learn in the darkness that we cannot learn in the light. And that's why we should not rebel against the chastening of the Lord. Some things are learned in the darkness that cannot be learned in the light. Reminded me of this statement I read from Ministry of Healing. In the full light of day, if you want the reference, we have them there. In the full light of day and in the hearing of the music of other voices, the caged bird will not sing the song that his master seeks to teach him. He learns a snatch of this, a trill of that, but never a separate and entire melody. So what's the master do? But the master covers the cage and places it where the bird will listen to the one song he is to sing in the dark. Where? In the dark, he tries and tries again to sing that song until it is learned, and he breaks forth in perfect melody. Then, then, the bird is brought forth, and ever after he can sing that song in the light. Please notice what's underlined. Thus God deals with his children. That may be how God has been dealing with you. Maybe this past week, maybe these past months. He's put you through some darkness because there's a song he wants you to learn. Song of experience. He has a song to teach us. And when we have learned it amid the shadows of affliction, we can sing it ever afterward. Amen. Reminds me, you've heard the story, no doubt, of Horatio Spafford. In the mid-1800s, he was living in Chicago, very prosperous businessman, lawyer, had many real estate holdings. And then in 1871, the Chicago fire broke out. He lost almost everything. After the fire, he tried to help. He was a Christian, so he tried to help his neighbors, those that had lost more than he. For 2 years, they labored, he and his wife, Anna, there in Chicago. And after 2 years of hard work trying to help others, they finally felt like they just needed a break. And so they decided to go spend some time with friends in England. And Anna Spafford, with the four daughters, boarded the ship across the Atlantic to England. Her husband was supposed to be with her, but because of a business issue, he had to stay behind to take care of this business problem, planning to join with the family later. 4 days out into the trip, the ship they were on was struck by another ship, an ironclad ship, and in 12 minutes, that ship that the Spafford family was on sank. All four daughters drowned. Those four little girls. Anna was drug out of the water by a rescuer, almost unconscious. She hardly even wanted to be saved because she had lost everything. And when she arrived in England, she telegraphed back to her husband, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Well, of course, he boarded the next ship from America to England. 4 days across the Atlantic, as they were passing, the captain of the ship called Horatio Spafford to his captain's quarters. He said, "We are right now passing over the spot where the ship that had your family on went down. This is where your four daughters drowned." And you know, that as Horatio was there thinking, grieving, a song began to develop in his mind, and you know the song. "It is well with my soul." That song was born out of darkness. And yet what a blessing that song has been for so many. "When peace like a river." Come on, let's sing it. "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught
taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Some things are learned in the darkness that cannot be learned in the light. That was number three. Now moving on to number four, the four points to ponder in the discipline of darkness. Number four, it is better to be leaning upon God in the darkness than to be standing without God in man-made light. And you can notice that again from our scripture reading, Isaiah 50. Notice verse 11. You still have your marker there. Isaiah 50 verse 11 says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." One of the greatest dangers of darkness, listen to me, one of the greatest dangers of darkness is that we may be tempted to light our own fire. Try to sort this out ourselves. This is a mess. I got to get out of this. Reminds me of Abraham. God has been promising us a seed all these years, and you know, I got to help God out. I mean, it's just not working out. Abraham, he lit his own fire. If you are surrendered to God and following God's leading and darkness comes, God has allowed it for a reason. Don't try to undo the reason. Just let God work it out. Don't try to start your own fire. Let God work it out. And that brings us today to the four keys to use when dealing with darkness. Someone might be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm not in darkness today. Well, just hold on. Just wait. You should take notes and put this in your medicine cabinet, because there'll come a day when you'll want to pull this off the shelf. All experience discouragement, disappointments at some point. And if it isn't now, just wait. But the first key that we can see in dealing with darkness, number one, wait on the Lord. Number one, wait on the Lord. That's why the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, verse 30, 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, up to where the light is. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So number one, wait on the Lord. If you find yourself in darkness, don't start your own fire. Just wait on the Lord. Let him work it out. Isaiah 50 verse 3 says, "I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." Now tell me, when the heavens are covered with darkness, what's that? When is that? That's the night. God says, "I clothe the heavens with blackness." And then verse 4 says, "He wakeneth" when? "Morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as to learn." Listen, if your sun has set, if you are in darkness now, remember, for those who trust in God, what? Morning is coming. You're not always going to be in darkness. You might be right now, or you may have been this past week. But after the night comes the morning. That's why the Bible says, put it in your notes, Psalms 112, verse 4, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Psalms 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night." You may be in the darkness right now. And with darkness often comes the tears, the perplexity, the discouragement. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." If your sun has set, if you're in darkness now, remember, for those who trust in God, morning is coming. So number one, these are the keys for dealing with darkness. Number one, wait on the Lord. Number two, focus on the light, not the darkness. That's a key principle in dealing with darkness. Focus on the light, not the darkness. Psalms 27 verse 1, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're in darkness, then you need to get out the lamp. The other night I got up in the middle of the night and I needed a lamp. And so I got out the flashlight and I could see. We have a flashlight, right? Spiritually. If you feel discouraged, if you feel you're in darkness, then get out the light. You'll find light in the Word of God. Use it. Number two, when dealing with darkness, focus on the light, not the darkness. Have you ever noticed when we focus on the darkness, all the problems and all the difficulties and all the misunderstandings, they just don't understand me. The more I think about the darkness, the darker it gets. The deeper the darkness. But when I start focusing on the light, the lighter it gets. Steps to Christ says, it is not wise to gather together all the unpleasant recollections of a past life, its iniquities and disappointments, to talk over them and mourn over them until we are overwhelmed with discouragement. That's focusing on the darkness. A discouraged soul is filled with darkness. You may have been there. How many people are discouraged at times? We started out our sermon today, it says all. Well, if you're part of all, that's part of you. You're included. But when you're discouraged, don't focus on the darkness. A discouraged soul is filled with darkness, shutting out the light of God from his own soul and casting a shadow upon the pathway of others. Focus on the light. Prophets and Kings says, in the darkest days. Are there days of darkness? Yes. In the darkest days, when appearances seem most forbidding, fear not. Have faith in God. He knows your need. He has all power. His infinite love and compassion never weary. Fear not that he will fail of fulfilling his promise. Number two, if you're going through darkness, when you go through darkness, number two, focus on the light, not on the darkness. Number three, dealing with darkness. Number three, sing hymns of hope. Not those pop songs you heard when you were in your youth. That's not going to encourage you. Sing some hope, a hymn of hope. We're told from Ministry of Healing, song is a weapon that we can always use against discouragement. Next time you're discouraged, use this weapon. Because we all experience discouragement. I think of Elijah. Did Elijah get discouraged? He got so discouraged, he was ready to die. He said, Lord, take away my life. Have you ever been that discouraged? Where is Elijah today? In heaven. So if you think you won't be discouraged, well, think again. Elijah experienced discouragement. Song is a weapon we can always use against discouragement. As we thus open the heart to the what? Sunlight of the Savior's presence, we shall have health and his blessing. Yes, we all go through times of darkness. But when you're going through those times of darkness, sing a hymn of hope. Number three, sing hymns of hope. We sang one as we started. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. Then why should I fear? By day and by night, his presence is near. He is my salvation from sorrow and sin. This blessed persuasion the Spirit brings in. The Lord is my light, my joy, and my song. By day and by night, he leads me along. The Lord is my light, my joy, and my song. By day and by night, he leads me along. It's pretty hard to sing a hymn like that and be discouraged, right? So number three, sing hymns of hope. And for those of you taking notes, number four, keys for dealing with darkness. Number four, trust in the Lord. When you're perplexed, when it seems like all the lights have gone out, lean on the Lord. That's the time to exercise faith. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things. How many people experience discouragement at some time or another? All. Here's another all. We know that all things, even trials, even problems, even darkness, even sickness. You're thinking, huh? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Number four, trust in the Lord. Lean on him when you're going through darkness. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you go through darkness, that's a time to exercise faith. Trust in the Lord. If you missed one, there they are. The four keys in dealing with darkness. Number one, wait on the Lord. Don't try to start your own fire. Wait on God to work it out. Number two, focus on the light, not on the darkness. Number three, sing hymns of hope. And number four, trust in the Lord. How is your soul today? Is it well with my soul? Are you dealing with some trials or some difficulties or some discouragements or maybe some pain? Does it seem like all around you is darkness? Trust in the Lord. There's a story of a father and his little girl who came home. One night, they had just come from the funeral of a wife and mother. And when they arrived in the home, the lonely home, the motherless home, the little girl said to her daddy, Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight? I'm so lonely. And of course, the big man, the father, he didn't want to go to his bedroom with the loneliness without his wife. He said, yes, honey, you can sleep with me tonight. So after they got in their pajamas, he tucked his little girl into bed. And then he turned off the light. And when he crawled into bed next to his little girl, she said, Daddy, it's so dark. It's so dark, Daddy. Daddy, I've never seen it this dark before. Daddy, I can't even see you. Daddy, are you there? Yes, dear. Daddy, is your face toward me? Yes, dear, my face is facing you. Okay, Daddy, good night. And in a few minutes, he could hear his little girl drifting off into slumberland, trusting in her father. She went to sleep. And after she went to sleep, he got out of bed and began to pray. He said, it's so dark. Is your face toward me? And in the darkness, he felt the sense of God drawing close. How is it with you, friend? Are you facing darkness? There are four keys to use whenever you're facing darkness. Would you like to ask God to help you when you go through darkness, to wait on him, to help you focus on the light, to help you to sing, even when you don't feel like singing, to help you to trust in him. How many want to ask him to help you do that? May I see your hands? Yes. There is hope for you when all is dark and life is drear. There is hope for you. The Savior sees your every tear. There is hope for you. In your darkest hour, God is near. So, there is hope in Christ for you. There is hope for you. The night of pain will soon be o'er. There is hope for you. The golden morning is at the door. There is hope for you. The darkness will then be no more. So, friend, there is hope in Christ for you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.